Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
We are carrying on our series looking at heroes of the Old Testament, those men and women who have experienced God's goodness, they have walked in the impossible, and we're going to hear a little bit more today about Elijah. For those that know the story of Elijah, he was a prophet. And to help you out, the function of the prophets, if you don't know, in the Old Testament, their role was to remind Israel of the covenant that God had with his people, to reveal God's nature and his promises, but also to point ahead to the Messiah. So we've looked at some of these figures already in the Old Testament, and now we're hitting with Elijah. And Elijah has incredible reputation. It's where God shows up in power, and God uses Elijah's faith to reveal himself. It is a fascinating story, so I'm really, really excited about it. But to give you a bit of context, just to understand the narrative in the Old Testament of where we find ourselves, because that's so important, to recognize what God was doing in Israel so that we can ask, what did it mean for them, but what does it mean for me today? The context is 1 Kings, and what we have in the Old Testament is what 1 and 2 Samuel alongside 1 and 2 Kings. They actually cover the reign of all of Israel's kings, from King Saul to David to Solomon, right through to the exile from Babylon. That's where Daniel was talked about last week by Phil, if you were watching. And the 1 and 2 Kings, they cover a period of 400 years in the Old Testament. 1 Kings, where we find the Elijah story, 120 years, from David's son Solomon, his reign at the beginning, which was filled with prosperity, wisdom, peace. But what happened with Solomon's reign, it ended by opening the door for idolatry, unrighteousness, and abandoning the covenant that God had with his people. So where we find the story of Elijah is there's been a split in the kingdom. Israel now is broken into two, the North Israel, the South Judah. And the story of Elijah takes place in the Northern Kingdom. At this point, the king is Ahab and his evil wife is Jezebel, both considered extremely evil. Scripture completely talks about how they were more evil than any other kings before them, and they brought in further idolatry, where Israel and their worship completely compromised. Now, if you were here with me and not watching through a screen, this would be the point where if I said Jezebel's name, you would be booing or I'd be looking for some sort of reaction, because she is considered the anti-God, rebellious spirit. That is what Elijah was up against. People coming against Israel's worship of Yahweh, it had been compromised. The false god of Baal was being worshipped. And he was known as the god of rain, fertility, vegetation. Now, to lower the tone a little bit, Baal's worship practices were the likes of cult prostitution and child sacrifice. Taking a bit of a turn there, but this is the reality that Israel were facing when Elijah steps up by God, called by Yahweh for a purpose. And his purpose was to remind Israel that Yahweh was the one true God. And today, when you're listening in, when you're watching, this is about reminding ourselves the one true God, that he has a kingdom unlike the kings that we find in 1 and 2 Kings, where their reigns end, they bring in idolatry. His kingdom is a kingdom that will never end. And I want to start right at the beginning by encouraging you, remembering Yahweh, the Lord is God. That's what Elijah's name meant. The Lord is God, and he is God over your life. What we're going to see in the story of Elijah, I absolutely love it, is we're going to see God's word and his promises being fulfilled in the context of God is the one true God, the one you can trust in, the one you can hope in. But we're also going to see how an incredible man of God like Elijah is known as a human just like us. He had astounding faith, but it worked through the limitations of humanity. It is a fascinating story. So we're going to jump right in. 1 Kings 17, the call of Elijah. The god of Baal is being worshipped, and God comes to him and says that there will be no rain for 3 years except at God's word. You see, God comes right in speaking to Elijah, and he comes against what Baal was doing and humiliating the enemy, because what was God? What was Baal the god of? Rain. God steps in against the enemy and halts the enemy's attack over Israel. So similar to our own lives, in that God comes against what the enemy tries to accomplish in your life, comes straight in. So God says there will be no rain except my word. The incredible thing is here is Elijah is the most hated man in Israel by King Ahab, by Jezebel. But what God does is he provides for Elijah provision throughout his calling. And we look in 1 Kings 17, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, says, leave here, turn eastward and head into the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan, stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Immediately we have Elijah called by God to speak against Baal, to speak against the idolatrous practices of the day, the culture that they were in, and immediately he is provided for. Supernatural provision. See, the enemy comes against us. We are around and we see the enemy. He tries to attack our purpose. But God, at the very beginning, and he wants it's a call. When you have a call on your life, God provides for you. It's exactly the same with us. He has the provision. What happens is he's drinking at the brook and it then dries up. So God says again, I'm sending you to Zarephath and you're going to go and experience a widow and her son. Elijah experiences more provision and he even is fed completely. He does a miracle, almost like the feeding of the 5,000. What the widow has, it just expounds, and there is more and more abundance for Elijah. He also then sees a miracle where the widow's son dies, but he resurrects him through prayer. And I wish I could go into those stories, but it's this constant thing of God is providing through him while the culture of the context of the day is coming against Baal. The incredible thing is he is sent by God more provision, Zarephath in Sidon. The important thing to recognize in 1 Kings 17, Elijah has a word, no rain for 3 years, and he finds himself in Sidon, Jezebel's hometown. He finds himself right in the heart of the enemy, right in the heart of the enemy's works and what the enemy is doing. But what does God do? Sends him there to be blessed, sends him there to be provided for by the widow and her son. In Zarephath, Baal territory, when the enemy comes against you, you are blessed. It's the exact same thing we see in Psalm 23. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You are provided for. We seek first his kingdom, and all things are added unto us. So I want to just share with you right at the start, God has a call on your life, and you are provided for. God will work in this, and he will continue to show up. We have Elijah moving throughout, being provided for, seeing incredible things. But we get to a point where the culture of the day is against the God of Baal, Yahweh against Baal, and there is a face-off in 1 Kings 18. It has been 3 years that have passed from the word coming to Elijah to stop the rain. But Elijah finds himself in those moments listening to the Lord, going where he's sent, experiencing provision. But as we have been experiencing throughout this series of heroes, he has to wait. There is so much that we looked at with Joseph, with David, with Abraham. There has been a time where we wait to see the promise of God. But here he is here in 1 Kings 18 at the pinnacle of his career. The moment he has been waiting for, challenging Ahab, challenging the people, challenging Baal, challenging the prophets of Baal. And we see in 1 Kings 18, he challenges them by saying, Elijah went before the people. And he says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And what we see in this chapter, if you read through it yourself, is he has this idea, which is to create this sacrifice where they can set it up, the prophets of Baal, and Baal will show up and consume the sacrifice by fire. And what happens? Nothing. They cry out to Baal to deliver them, to bring the sacrifice, to set it on fire, to show his true power. And it happens for hours and hours and hours. And then Elijah sets up his own sacrifice. Incredible faith, knowing that God is going to show up just as he said he would 3 years earlier. So he shows himself to Ahab, sets this sacrifice up. And the one true God comes, consumes the altar. And what happens? The prophets of Baal are defeated. 450 prophets of Baal and those that have been worshipping him, they were then defeated and Elijah ordered them to be killed. And what was the purpose in this? To remind Israel that the one true God in our lives reigns victorious. It's a reminder that in Yahweh himself, there is fulfillment, no matter what is going on, no matter what the other gods are. I want to speak into just where we are at now, is what we're experiencing in Northern Ireland, global pandemics, fear. There's lots of stuff going on. But in the time like this, Yahweh is the one true God. And fulfillment is found in Him alone. No matter what's going on, no matter what anybody else is worshipping, He is the one that brings fulfillment. And in His name, you will experience glory, provision, fulfillment. So what we have is the God of Baal is humiliated. He is defeated. But the promise is coming to pass. More rain at God's word. And now what we see is this persistent prayer, a prayer of faith that Elijah prays. See, Elijah had faith for the promise of God coming to pass. 3 years earlier, God said that there will be no rain apart from my word. And then the word comes, present yourself to Ahab, and the rain's coming. Now, this story, we may remember this, that Elijah, he puts his head between his knees, 1 Kings 18, and he prays for the rain. And often how this is interpreted is that he prays, sends his servant to look. They don't see anything, no clouds, no rain. He prays again, sends his servant again, and this happens 7 times. For years, I have read this story being about persistent prayer. If you just scrunch up enough and say, God, will you do? He will show up. What a revelation it has been to me to recognize Elijah does not pray 7 times. Elijah prays only once, but he asks the servant to go and look 7 times. The scripture says the servant came back and Elijah said, go again and look. So Elijah believed in prayer number one that what God had said, and the 7 times is to indicate that God will bring it to completion. What He has spoken, what He has spoken over you, over your situation, He will bring it to completion. All we need to do is just pray in faith, recognizing that God will show up as He has said. After the 7th time, a cloud the size of a man's hand appears. Now, if this was me, I would be saying, are you having a laugh, Elijah? It has been 3 years, no rain, and we've got a cracking summer's day. It would be in Northern Ireland with a cloud the size of a man's hand. I wouldn't have the faith at all. But Elijah sees what God had showed him, remembers the word, and says, that is the rain. He possessed the promise that God had for him and for the nation. Elijah believed. How would you respond to that? Sometimes the way we would see it is we would see a cloud that would be ignored. We would say, that's not bringing the fulfillment. That's not bringing the blessing. It's not bringing the promise. I want to encourage you, as we've been hearing throughout this Hero series, do not throw away your promise because it hasn't arrived yet or because it looks different to what you expected. King David, as we remember, he was anointed first as servant. Then he lived out, remembering the promise was coming, before he became anointed king. You're anointed. God has given promises throughout your life, and it's about faith. It is not about facts. Let me share with you that faith sees the promise of God, the breakthrough, before your eyes do. What do you see by faith today when you're thinking about God, what He has spoken over your life? The Bible talks about how Elijah had earnest prayer. That's not about scrunching up, demanding. It is trusting in who God is, and faith sees more than your eyes. What do you see when you listen to the voice of God, what He has promised over your life? Because I can guarantee you, what God speaks, when He speaks a promise, He will bring it to pass. As we've heard before throughout this series, it's the providence of God Himself that secures His provision. God working behind the scenes. The providence of God secures His provision, secures His promise for you. So how's Elijah remembered after this incredible, astounding faith that it is such an encouragement to us? Because first in James 5, verse 16 to 18, it talks about how the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If I pause there for a second, you are righteous, therefore your prayers are powerful and effective. Righteous because of what? Because of Jesus Himself. He sees you when He looks at who you are. He sees Christ. God sees Christ Himself. But it goes on to say in verse 17, James 5, that Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. The record of that is actually that he he just said to Ahab, it's not going to rain. Earnest prayer is not about twisting God's arm. It's a prayer of faith. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Faith in what God has spoken over your life, over your family, over your situation, trust in the promise. Because Elijah is a man like us, and you can have the same faith he did. Because as we've been learning throughout exchange, throughout the sermons, throughout the talks that Andrew's been speaking about, faith is a gift from God. That Greek word, pistis, you can have faith like Elijah when you simply receive who he is and what he says about you. You are righteous, and you can have powerful and effective prayers. So it's incredible. Baal is rendered useless. The God of rain produces no rain, and then he's not even the one that produces it. It is Yahweh. The enemy has no power against what God has promised in your life. The story after this takes a little bit of a turn because Ahab, King Ahab, tells Jezebel what's happened. The prophets of Baal are dead. Baal's been humiliated. But Jezebel responds with a threat to Elijah. Says that if by this time tomorrow you're not dead, may the gods deal with me ever so severely. And what happens is we have this complete turn in chapter 19. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, it was the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. I read this and I don't understand it. This was his moment defeating the prophets of Baal, an incredible victory over the idolatrous practices, reminding them of Yahweh. But in a way, he felt like in some way it didn't work because Jezebel was after him, threatened to take his life, and he listened to the enemy and ran for his life. Complete despair. I don't know about you. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you have been serving God, working for God, living out your purpose, but somehow it doesn't quite add up? It doesn't work. You're not experiencing the victory. See, Elijah in this moment, he listened to the enemy, but he actually was protected by the Lord, but he listened to the enemy. So the scripture says that God allowed him to rest, woke him up, gave him food, despite the despair. I mean, he prayed that he might die. Now, I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer like that, that God will kill you. But if you have, here is a moment to listen up, because this is the crux of the Elijah story. The incredible faith, but what God does in this moment. Remember that in the day of Elijah's faith, proclaiming the word to Ahab, ravens fed him, the widow sustained him in the day of his faith. But in the day of his depression, when he is downhearted, he is in despair, angels wait on him and God himself feeds him. Provision in the highest moments and provision in the lowest moments. When you run away fearful of what God has spoken over your life, I guarantee you, God is so good that you run into him. Like the disciples on the Emmaus Road, when they walked away from Jerusalem, their place where the temple was, they walked right into Jesus, God himself. He is not finished with you if you have run away. He is not finished with you if you're in despair. His heart for you is that he will never leave you or forsake you. This is the moment I love. God feeds him, gives him provision in his despair, and then he strengthens him for another journey, not finished with him yet, and he leads him to the mountain of God. Now, the incredible thing about this is it's Mount Horeb, which is actually Mount Sinai, where the law was given. Despite the limitations of the law, you can experience God, and you will be led to an experience with him. Incredible that Elijah meets him here. So we see 1 Kings 19, verse 9 to 13. And the word of the Lord came to him in his despair, in his discouragement, at the worst point in his life, and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Message version actually says, "I have worked my heart out for the Lord." What about you? Have you ever said that? "I have worked tirelessly for you, God, but it's not worked. I've worked my heart out for you, but I have not seen the victory come to fruition. I've not seen it all come to pass." Ever find yourself at the end of the road, burnt out, lonely, void of purpose? "God, why are you not coming through for me? You told me something, I saw a bit of it, but I didn't see it all." You've given yourself for a purpose in church, in family, in work, given yourself, but disappointed in complete despair. The Lord responds, "Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Elijah goes out and the voice says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replies again, "Work my heart out. Very zealous for you, working for you. They're trying to kill me." But the Lord says, "Go back the way you came, to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, who will succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any of those who escape Hazael. Elisha will put to death those who escape Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, whose mouths have not kissed him." God, not in the wind. He is not in the quake. He is not in the fire. I want to encourage you. Elijah is led to this experience with God at the very worst moment of his life. But what does he experience? A God who is not the God of the elements. He is unlike Baal, the god of rain. He is not in the wind. He is not in the quake. He is not in the fire. He is more than a god of power who shows up in might. There is only one Yahweh, and he shows up as the still, small voice to redirect Elijah, to give him the experience. And it's a reminder for us that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. This is an incredible experience for Elijah. The worst point in his life. What does he need? He needs the voice of God over him. He needs an experience with the Lord himself. He doesn't need more breakthrough. He doesn't need more miracles. He needs to hear God's voice. When you quiet your heart and hear the voice of the Lord, you will find direction. The question is, what are you doing here, Elijah? Only in the presence of God will you be able to answer the question of, what are you doing here? Why are you here? What is your purpose? It is within his presence and his presence alone you will find purpose. You will find more than when you had the high moments. You will find more than the breakthrough when you listen to the voice of the Lord. It's this distinction between revelation, breakthrough, the giver versus the gift. I would have responded differently because God wouldn't have answered my fears. But what God was getting his attention of was, you need to hear my voice. Church, he is the God of the voice. He is not the God of the fire. He is not the God of the wind, the quake. He is the God who longs to speak to you again, you and him, to address your disappointments, to address your discouragement, a fresh revelation of who he says that you are. Under the new covenant, the incredible thing is Elijah traveled 40 days, 40 nights. We don't need to travel to the mountain of God. You have his presence inside you when you're in Christ. I guarantee you, you will accomplish more in his presence than anywhere else. You will accomplish more in prayer, listening to his voice, than anywhere else. He has not finished with you yet. And you can be like Elijah, honest before him, and he will not leave you. We need a reminder where we're at, that it's about spending time with Jesus in his presence. It's like the Mary versus Martha. When Martha said, when Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, "Don't you care that Mary's not helping?" Jesus says, "You are worried about many things, but what Mary has done is sit at my feet and listen to my word." Henry Nguyen says that without solitude, time on our own with God, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to him. Church, we need to get alone with God to hear his voice again. This is not about more knowledge. Jesus himself withdraws to many lonely places. He did that in Scripture. It's not about the breakthrough being what we want to attain. It is about relationship. When you know the voice of God, your fears are addressed, your low points, your discouragement, your despair. It is about hearing his voice. We don't have the God like Baal these days. We aren't worshipping in temples and idolatrous practices. But the Baals of our time are distraction, distracting us from the voice of God, keeping us busy, looking for the quake, looking for the fire, looking for the wind, looking for the answers in the places where we want to see God move in power. I guarantee you where the freedom is you getting alone with him, listening to the voice. Some of us are guilty, at times, me included, of getting ready for the next series, the next sermon, you know, the next thing that Pastor Prince is bringing out, and I can't wait to listen to that. And I am exactly the same. And now, hear my heart on this. Pastor Prince, listening to Andrew, they are the teaching and exchange. That is what will direct your life, and we need to listen to it all the time to feed ourselves with that. But what do we need to do? We need to remember that the grace knowledge leads us to the experience with God ourselves. Looking at Elijah as we round up, God gives grace to you in your worst moments. This is amazing. Elijah experienced five things. Now, this is a picture of grace. At his worst moment, he experienced provision. He was fed by the angel of the Lord. Rest. He was allowed to sleep. Revelation. The God of the voice. The God who speaks. Direction. Purpose. Go back the way you came. I have purpose. And relationship. Jehu, Hazael, and Elisha. 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You are not on your own, Elijah. Five. And what is that, a picture? It's a picture of grace. It's a picture that he's provided provision, rest, revelation, direction, relationship. He is not on his own. Five. That reminder, even of the series that Andrew preached on, the prodigal son, five. The grace littered throughout this story. Elijah's legacy is that he is a man like us. Incredible faith, believing for rain, trusting in God, but he's also at the highs, but he's a man like us, limited by his humanity. Discouragement, despair, disappointments, fears. Do we have those? Absolutely, we do. But God has grace within it. The number five, in that, speaking to him, what does he lead you to? He leads you to a fresh experience. We need to get on our own with God and listen again to what he is saying, especially in times like this. And what we see then, his legacy, the spirit of Elijah carried on through Elisha. Just as a side point, the amazing thing is, Elijah prays, what, that he might die? In Scripture, it is recorded that he never dies. What grace. Prayed that he would die in his moment of despair. God actually honors him in that moment, and he never dies. He's taken up by the chariot later on in front of Elisha. He then appears with Jesus at the tribulation on the mountain, and then his ministry is seen in John the Baptist. God answers that prayer. He wanted to die by saying, no, you will live on and your spirit will live on. Absolutely incredible. As I finish, the context is over the Baals, over the distractions, over the culture of the day, which everybody is worshipping something in this day. We are listening to the voice of media, of other people, of the enemy. We listen to our own voice sometimes, which is not focused on God. The distractions are everywhere. But the context, Yahweh, the Lord is God, and he speaks over you again that he has a fresh outpouring of rain for your life today, a fresh outpouring of his spirit, of his presence, but you need to get to that place of hearing his voice over you. Yahweh says to you today, journey deep into my presence. As Phil said last week about Daniel, take a moment or three in Daniel's case and pray to the Lord, that time listening to what he says about you. Learn his unforced rhythms of grace. He has a purpose for your life. Despite your humanity, like Elijah, you can experience faith-filled living, divine protection, provision, supernatural faith where miracles come to pass. What he speaks, you can pray by faith, it is done. God, wants a fresh revelation to come your way about who he is, about what do you see? Do you see in your life that cloud the size of a man's hand? If God has spoken it over you, promise it will be fulfilled. He is the one true God, and it's only in his presence and hearing his voice will you find fulfillment. In the current context where we're at, that is where you will find life. For some of you, I felt a real stirring in my spirit that Yahweh is saying to you today, go back the way you came. Go back, as he said to Elijah, to what you have been running from. Go back to what was left unfinished, because what was unfinished, he will accomplish. He speaks his word to you, provides you with the provision. In the enemy territory, remember Sidon, Zarephath, he gives provision. You won't do it alone. You'll have the revelation, the provision, the abundance. What do you hear? The voice of God when you get away from the distractions, listening to him and his word. Ignore the fire, ignore the wind, the quake, and hear the whisper of God. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you are the God of faith and abundance, but you're the God of the voice. Father, I pray that everybody who has heard and watched, Father, that they get a stirring in their spirit, that you answer the question of why are you here? You answer the question of purpose and give us everything we need and more. Lord, I pray, stir in people's spirits today a sense of your voice, your presence, where all is accomplished when we sit at your feet, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.